Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, where the Apostle Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless." The text before us presents another fundamental of the Christian faith. Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Yes, here is the particular and intensive love of Christ for his church. And how does this love of Christ for his church fit in with what we have already learned concerning fundamentals of the Christian faith? Well, let's review them briefly. First, we learned that every human being is a part of a perverse generation. This includes each of us. And this means that all unbelieving people have sinful hearts, and that they are basically morally bad. And this in turn means that it is impossible for any of us to save ourselves from this perverse generation in which we find ourselves. Second, we learn that those who obtain salvation are unconditionally chosen by God to obtain it. This means that we do not deserve salvation, nor can we earn it. This means that we are saved by grace. Salvation is totally the gift of God. Third, today, we see the love of Christ for his church. And we must learn what this love of Christ for his church means. And we must see how this love of Christ relates to the other truths which we have learned. To do this, we will answer three questions from our text, Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. The first question is this: what kind of love is this love of Christ for the church? The Apostle Paul answers, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church." The second question is this: what does this love of Christ for the church involve? And again, the Apostle Paul answers, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Then the third question, which is, what does this love of Christ for the church accomplish? And again, the Apostle Paul gives us the glorious answer: Christ loved the church that he might sanctify her, that he might present to himself the church glorious. We look briefly at these three questions and the answers given by the Apostle Paul. First of all, again, what kind of love is the love of Christ for the church? The Apostle Paul sees a comparison between marital love and Christ's love for the church. The standard for the love of a husband for his wife is the love Christ has for the church. The love a husband has for his wife is to be, in other words, of a certain quality. And the quality of that love is to be of the same quality as Christ's love for the church. This is the comparison that the Apostle Paul himself sets before us. To understand Christ's love for the church, in other words, is to better understand the love a husband is to have for his wife. But the comparison, at least in part, also goes in the other direction. You see, other parts of the Bible also tell us about the love a husband is to have for his wife. And if we can learn from the Bible, from other parts of the Bible, about the quality of the love which a husband is to have for his wife, this will in turn help us to better understand Christ's love for the church. For in the ultimate sense, you see, the love a husband has for his wife is to be just like the love Christ has for the church. Now, when we look at the Bible, one thing the Bible teaches for sure is that a husband's love for his wife is to be exclusive. The love that a husband shares with his wife is not to be shared with anyone else. A man may have love for many other men and express love for many other men and women, especially in his church and in his family. And as Christians, we are exhorted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to love one another. But the quality of love which is to exist between a husband and his wife is different. It is exclusive. For instance, a husband is not to love another woman just like he loves his wife. For a husband to love another woman just like he loves his wife and to express that love in the same fashion is adultery. And this is a sin of a very grave sort. The Lord himself says, "You shall not commit adultery." And again, a man is not to love another man just like he is to love his wife. For a man to express love for another man just like he expresses love for his wife is another grave sin, homosexuality. It is a gross and detestable sin of the most horrid sort. And so you see, the point is simply this. The quality of love between a husband and his wife is exclusive love. The love a husband has for his wife is directed exclusively toward her. It is not shared with others. It must not be shared with others. It cannot truly be shared with others. And in a similar way, the quality of love Christ has for his church is also exclusive. Do you see the comparison that the Apostle Paul is drawing out for us? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. You see, Paul is talking about an exclusive love Christ has for the church. And it might help us at this point to briefly define the church. What does the Apostle Paul mean by the church in this particular passage of Scripture? The church that Paul is talking about is the congregation of God's people in all ages. The church includes those who have died and already gone to heaven. The church includes those now living who have or will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. And the church includes those yet to be born and who will obtain salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church Paul is talking about when he says Christ loved the church. And the love Christ had for the church was and is exclusive. It is not shared with others. To be sure, there is a love of God that has been and is and will be expressed to all men everywhere. As Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew 5, 44 and 45. Jesus here is talking about a love of God to all men, the sunshine and the rain. But the quality of love that the Apostle Paul is speaking about in Ephesians 5 is quite different. It is an exclusive love which is expressed to the church. And that is why the Apostle Paul is able to say in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Not everyone. Love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. But now, if Christ's love for the church is so exclusive, what does this love involve? Paul answers by saying, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Yes, you see, Christ gave himself up for the church. That's what his love for the church involved. And this giving up of himself for the church is further defined in verse 2 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Let's read the first two verses of Ephesians 5. Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Christ gave himself up, an offering and a sacrifice to God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 10, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that Christ's body was the offering to God. In other words, Christ offered his body, his physical body, as a sacrifice. Christ sacrificed himself to God on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was an offering to God on the cross. And what kind of sacrifice to God was Christ as he hung cruelly on that cross? Hebrews 5:1 uses the same word for sacrifices and says that they are sacrifices for sin. Yes, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cruel cross, he was offering himself as a sacrifice for sin. And when Christ gave himself up to death, he offered himself a sacrifice for sin. This is what Christ's love for the church involves. It involves himself giving himself a sacrifice for sin. You see, my friends, God is offended by man's sin. Do you realize that? When we sin against God. This is how David of long ago saw it when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He cried out to God and he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And God is offended when we sin against him and when we willfully disobey him. So offended is God that Paul says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God is offended by sin. And it's time we learn that lesson. In Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone." God, you see, is so offended by sin that He will punish those who continue in sin with eternal fire. But then on the other hand, the Apostle Paul tells us in this wonderful text, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. As we have said, Christ gave Himself up as an offering and a sacrifice for sin. What is it then that takes place when Christ sacrifices Himself? What happens concerning the wrath of God against sin when Christ sacrifices Himself? Well, let's look at that. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10. "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." John says that Christ is the propitiation for our sins. This is how the New American Standard Version and the King James Version translates this particular text. As a propitiation for sin, Christ's death is, as the New International Version puts it, an atoning sacrifice for sin. Christ's death, in other words, satisfies God and turns His wrath away. On the cross, in other words, Christ takes the wrath of God for sin upon Himself. The penalty for sin is death. This is what Paul and other parts of the Bible tell us. And Christ takes that penalty upon Himself. In doing so, He turns the wrath of God away from others. Do you see the significance of this? This big word, propitiation, means that God's wrath against sin is turned away. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Where we see that Christ gave Himself up for the church. Look at it. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her." When the Apostle Paul says Christ gave Himself up for her, he means for the church. In other words, Christ gave Himself up in behalf of the church, in the place of the church. Christ took upon Himself the wrath of God in the place of the church. Understand the glory of this. It means that Christ, by His sacrifice, turned God's wrath away from the church. Oh, dear friends, this is what Christ's exclusive love for the church involves. This exclusive love of Christ for the church involves His giving Himself up as a sacrifice for sin on behalf of the church. This exclusive love of Christ for the church involves His turning the wrath of God for sin away from the church. Christ, by His death on the cross, saves the church from eternal punishment. and the painful thing. Yes, even the awesome thing is this, that outside of the church for which Christ died, there are those who do not obtain salvation. God's wrath is not turned away from them. They must suffer the reward due to their own sins. And at the judgment, Jesus will say to these, "I never knew you. Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Oh, surely this confirms what Paul says. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But now we are brought to that third question. What does this exclusive love of Christ for the church accomplish? Well, the first thing Christ's exclusive love for the church accomplishes is in verse 26. Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The Apostle Paul here gives the purpose of Christ's love and sacrifice. Literally, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her in order that he might sanctify her. The New International Version simply says, "to make her holy." This is the purpose of Christ's love. And how does Christ sanctify the church? What does this mean? Christ sanctifies the church by separating the members of the church from their perverse generation. You see, again, we must say, to be saved, people must be separated from their perverse generation. And the Lord Jesus Christ does this. This is the purpose of his exclusive love and sacrifice for the church. And Christ therefore sanctifies the church by setting her apart to serve the living God. This is the first great purpose Paul gives for Christ's great and exclusive love for the church. And then the second thing Christ's exclusive love for the church accomplishes is given in verse 27. Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Again, we see the purpose for Christ's love and sacrifice. There is no contingency here, as if Christ might not present the church to himself. The fact is that if Christ had not died for the church, he could not present the church to himself. That's the whole purpose for his dying on Calvary's cross, to present the church to himself. That's why he died. And literally the text reads, in order to present to himself the church glorious. Oh, the Apostle Paul presents to us here a picture of heaven to come, of glory to come. Christ will one day take the church to himself and glorify every member of it. This, of course, will take place at the end of the age when Christ comes a second time in glory. And at this time, our Lord Jesus Christ will say, "Come, come, you who are blessed of my Father. inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you see then what Christ's exclusive love for the church accomplishes? Christ's exclusive love for the church separates the members of that church from their perverse generation. And Christ's exclusive love for the church sets the members of that church apart from that perverse generation so that they might serve the living God. And Christ's exclusive love for the church takes the members of that church into glory itself. This is what Christ's love and sacrifice for the church accomplishes. Oh, dear friends, it accomplishes salvation. It accomplishes salvation for those chosen to obtain it, as we've already seen. Christ's love and sacrifice do not simply make salvation possible. Jesus is not a possible Savior. He is the Savior. Christ's love and sacrifice accomplish salvation itself. Salvation, full and free. And this is true because Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Oh, what glory there is in that text. But now comes the crucial question. Are you a member of Christ's church? Are you a part of the church Christ loved and gave himself up for? Are you a part of the church Christ sacrificed himself for on Calvary's cross? Are you a part of that great company of people away from whom Christ has turned the wrath of God? Are you one of those whom Christ has separated from this perverse generation? Has the Lord Jesus Christ himself set you apart to serve the living God in this world? One day will he take you to glory? Are you a member of Christ's church? The requirements or the standards for membership in Christ's church are really quite simple. These are the requirements for having your name on the roll of this particular congregation. But more importantly, these are the standards, these are the requirements for knowing that you are a part of the church Christ loved and shed his blood for. First of all, you must recognize that you are a sinner and that God is really offended by your sin. And you must repent of your sin. You must change your mind about it. You must turn away from it. You must get down on your knees and you must ask God to forgive you of your sin. And then you must turn to Christ and you must trust in Christ to save you from that sin. You must trust that Christ's sacrifice turns the wrath of God away from your sin. And from you. You must really believe in your heart, Christ loved me and gave himself up for me. In other words, you must get down on your knees and you must say, Lord Jesus, I trust in you and I trust in your sacrifice for my salvation. And I want to serve you. I want to serve you as my only Lord. You see,
It is really quite simple. You must repent of sin and trust in Christ.